I Could Talk Kayfabe, I'm Joe.
And I'm Sean.
And before we get into this issue, we are going to make a little bit of an announcement. Not a huge announcement here, but this will be the last magazine we discuss for a little while, at least for a little while.
Yeah, we're gonna do some housekeeping here. So some things are changing over, on my end. So to make things a little bit more easy for Joe and I to continue to do a show, we're just going to kind of base it more on just watching wrestling, classic wrestling.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Monday Night Raw.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about SmackDown.
Look, we could talk about that stuff if we want to, but there's people that do it all the time that do it way better than us. And granted, there's people that do really any of this content, better than us. But, I just feel interested. I don't feel as committed. Well, first of all, I don't have cable.
Yeah.
So I don't have to. I'm not able to watch that stuff and be like, I got to take on this right away. It's like, yeah. I'd much rather talk about stuff that we read about in these books.
Yeah.
And if that's watching, wrestling leading up, to these events, or finding stuff connected to it and just kind of breaking that stuff down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that. I know Joe's into that.
Yeah. We've been doing these magazines for a year and a half now, talking about some great stuff that we've been reading in the magazines, but we don't have time to go back and watch all the stuff we talk about in the magazines.
Yeah.
So now what we're going to do going forward, for a little while at least, we're not going to just totally change the whole podcast, but we're going to discuss old events that are probably either on YouTube or on WWE Network and that we've discussed in the magazines that we want to go back and watch. We just haven't had the time to do it for whatever reason. Now we're going to make that a priority to do that and talk about it on this podcast. I don't know how long the format change is going to be, if it's going to be for a few episodes or if it's going to be that way going on for the rest of time. But that's what we're going to do over the course of the next few episodes, at least. So.
Well, I do want to mix it up, and I also will say that doing a wrestling show like this is definitely, doing it's and saying we, because we do appreciate the attention that we get from it and stuff, and maybe we can focus somehow on articles from these books that portray into wrestling. It's almost like, actually, even maybe kind of keeping tabs on these books. Maybe reading a story and just focusing on the events surrounding that, whether it's like a pay-per-view match and just the fallout of that. Like, there's ways to do it.
Yeah.
But I just think with the way things are certain kind of changing on both, mine and Joe's end, it just makes more sense for us to do it that way. And, we'd love to hear from you. If you guys have any thoughts about that, you can check us out on Facebook at I Could Talk Kayfabe. You can hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Angry Hero Sean.
And Sweatpants Joe.
Sweatpants Joe.
Yeah.
So you can just always let us know if there's things that you would prefer from us or whatever. So, that's how we want to do it. So I guess we should take a break then real quick.
We will take a break. We will come back and we will discuss The Wrestler from October 1987.
I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? Bad. I own number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
Okay, we are back. We have Victory Sports Series, The Wrestler, from October 1987.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a black cover with yellow fonts and a big photo of Macho Man Randy Savage is the main cover photo.
I really like this outfit for Savage. It's something I feel like I haven't seen very often from him.
Not in the WWF, no, but that's probably a WWF photo.
Well, it definitely has to be, but it has to be like early.
Yeah, but that's more like his the ring outfit that he would wear before WWF. It looks like the robe, at least.
Well, he's got like the big, like, you know, muumuu robe or whatever it is, the cape. I don't know what you would call it, because it's not like a robe per se, but it's kind of a robe. So he is wearing that, and it's black, but it's got like gold trim and white trim on it, you know, these designs and everything. He's got like a red gold headband. He's got the black sunglasses, you know, and I think it's awesome. And I'm also kind of wondering, like, he never would wear just straight black or white tights. So I'm wondering, because you would think like a black tight, black trunks would go with this ensemble.
Well, if that photo was from this era and he was just wearing that, he was probably just wearing those orange trunks with the three stars.
Yeah.
Because he was wearing those pretty much under everything. So he didn't really deviate from those until the Mega Powers.
Well, he did like, yeah, like orange. He would do green.
Yeah, he like would the, do green,
the,
yeah.
Green. Maybe red, I feel. Maybe that was later on. And maybe blue. I think he had a blue.
I remember he would do the green with the blue knee pads, and I thought that clashed.
Green with the blue knee pads?
Yeah, I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to go back and watch, like, very early Savage in WWF to see kind of how that is. Because I feel like, you know, he had his outfits also in Memphis. That's, you know, obviously where it all carried over from. It was like he just started wearing stuff. But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, the Honky Tonk Man just must have won the title, because it says the Honky Tonk Man wins the Intercontinental title. Is Randy Savage the fans' only hope? Well, you know, we had he was up until the Ultimate Warrior showed up.
Yeah,
that changed. Up top, we have a little blurb. It says, ambushed on Bad Street, the Four Horsemen ruined the Freebirds' return. And it looks like Flair has got Michael Hayes in an armbar on the inset here. And then the rest of the stories. Larry Zbysko, Greg Gagne is the stupidest man alive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never met Greg Gagne.
I'm sure he's not that stupid.
It's do or die time. Sting dumps Eddie Gilbert. And finally, the Ken Patera plan. Throw a rock through a McDonald's window.
No, that's not what it says. It says eliminate Heenan's henchmen one by one.
Okay.
So this was after he did that.
So this magazine, I remember by the time we got to the year-end issue for 87, I had, maybe I don't know if I still have it somewhere, but at home, but the... I remember reading these titles of these stories because they would have the index and it would be like, oh, here's this, you know, wrestler or whatever. And they would tell you like all the stories they're involved with. And I remember a lot of these titles, especially the Greg Gagne is the stupidest man alive. So
yeah, he was a stupid man. He was according dumb. To, yeah.
So yeah, we got some good stuff going on here.
I'm looking here though at the super
color special.
Wanting some of these magazines. Look at this one with Hulk Hogan and Magnum TA on the cover.
This one always fascinated me because it was like they would show these pictures and you would think that there was some sort of like story surrounding around, but they were basically just centerfolds.
Yeah, that's fine with me. Look at that one of Missy Hyatt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Missy Hyatt.
I wonder if that was before she hooked up with Jim Kelly. I think it probably was.
Oh, definitely was. Jim Kelly. I mean, she probably wasn't hooking up with Jim Kelly until at least... I mean, Jim Kelly, what's his 87, man? Jim Kelly hasn't done anything yet.
No, yeah. He was like in the middle of his second season with the Bills, and that was a year they went on strike. So
yeah, and so we ended up in the year after. I think we got to like the division championship.
Yeah, we made it to the game before the Super Bowl, lost to the Bengals.
Was it to the
AFC championship?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought we only got to the division.
That was the year the Bills started 11-1, and everyone was like, oh my God, they're going to go to the Super Bowl. And then they went 12-4 and they lost that last game of the year to the Indianapolis Colts, which cost them home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And that's why they had to go to Cincinnati and play there. And they lost to Cincinnati in the regular season too. So that's why Cincinnati had the tiebreaker, because they had the same record.
When did the fandemonium come out?
That was that season, 1988. It was when the Bills beat the Jets to win the division, and the fans stormed the field and tore the goalposts down. That's when fandemonium was born.
I have that poster.
Yeah.
I had that poster of the fans tearing the goalposts down. But wait, but so they tore the goalposts down because they won the division?
Yeah. Because they hadn't won a division since 1980 by that point. And that was 8 years, and that was a long time. Fast forward to 2018, where the Bills have not won a division since 1995. It's been 23 years.
Oh, my God.
And counting.
What are we going to do now?
I don't know.
Are we going to just tear down the stadium?
That game, though, was such a weird game, because the Bills were up 6-0. Then the Jets scored a touchdown late in the game, and they were going to win the game with an extra point. But then Fred Smirla's blocked the extra point, and they went to overtime, and the Bills won it in overtime 9-6. Such a weird game. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember a game from when I was 8 years old.
That was a memorable? I mean,
yeah.
How could you? I remember watching at least the goalpost being torn.
Yeah, I remember watching that because we were still living with my grandparents at the time while our house in Wheatfield was being built. And I watched the Bills lose to the Colts that last game of the year in Radio Shack at the Boulevard Mall.
Oh, man. Boulevard Mall.
Yeah, shout out to Radio Shack.
Shout out to Radio Shack.
R.I.P. Radio Shack.
R.I.P. stores from our youth.
R.I.P. pretty soon, the Boulevard Mall. I hear it's on its last legs.
Oh, I'm surprised it's still around. I mean, what's left there?
TGI Fridays.
Ooh, all right.
Boulevard Mall, for those of you who live in Buffalo, they have a Chinese restaurant across the street, and it's awesome, and I can't think of the name of it right now. I want to say Red Dragon or Red Roof. It's got red in it, and it's got a red roof.
I never spent enough time in that area to appreciate some of the stuff over there. I do remember there was a place called, what the fuck was it? Montana's?
Montana's, yeah, that was on the Boulevard. Yeah.
That was on the Boulevard.
That was one of those
It was one of those chains. But he only didn't see them many places.
Yeah, it was like a Outback, but not as popular. It was like the Kmart of steakhouses.
Kmart Outback. So, what's happening?
So we have John Stossel.
Yeah. So yeah. What happened was from the Dr. D and John Stossel, they finally settled out of court. For $425,000,
and that's a lot of money in 1987.
Fuck yeah, it is.
That's a lot of money to settle out of court for. Holy cow, that's a lot of money. Where's Vince McMahon getting that money in 1987?
Well, they just had WrestleMania 3. I mean, they were doing pretty good back then. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm assuming their business was up.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. So
today, yeah, that's nothing. Like, you settle for $500,000 with a reporter for $500,000, that'd be like a drop in the bucket to WWF. But 1987 WWF, that's...
Well, let's see here. Here's some other business here. So Stossel sued McMahon, Titan Sports, and Schultz after he got slapped. Schultz was fired by McMahon after the incident, received a 90-day suspension and a $3,000 fine from the New York State Athletic Commission. He claimed he was ordered to attack Stossel, which he's said many times. $150,000 of the $425,000 out-of-court settlement was paid by Titans Insurance Company. $275,000 was paid by Titan Sports.
Shout out to John Stossel for taking Vince McMahon for $500,000.
Yeah, in 1987, man, that was some hardcore. Don't fuck with John Stossel.
He got more money than Jesse Ventura got in his settlement against WWF, I think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think.
That's like $1 million settlement.
I thought it was only like $100,000.
That's nothing.
I know. That's
Wait. Jesse ain't settling for $100,000.
Oh,
maybe he ain't got time for $100,000.
I don't know Jesse Ventura's financials with the WWF settlement, but I do know that they still remove his commentary on a lot of videos.
Yeah.
They don't want to pay him royalties.
Yeah.
Which, whatever.
Well, it was all, wasn't it all because of like some video game thing too? Like, there's a whole thing where Jesse was going to have this video game come out with his likeness, and it came out, but it was like garbage. It was,
yeah,
like Amiga computer.
Yeah, you know, I've actually seen the game on like YouTube and stuff. I don't think
I exactly what it's called, but
yeah,
Joe Gagne.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. Yeah, Joe Gagne's Funtime Pro Wrestling.
Shout out to that Joe Gagne.
Yeah, he's like, you know, because he ran out of games to really talk about. Don't get me wrong, he still has games, but like he's like the videos are fewer and further between now.
I know. I need more of them. I need more.
But he does a lot of Let's Plays now too. He'll do a lot of live streaming. So
I'll have to check him out. We'll have to tag him when this episode comes out and see if he's paying attention.
Yeah.
But shout out to Joe Gagne.
Yeah. Dude, you did fine work. That was an idea that I conceived that I wanted to do, and then I never got around to doing it because I just never. It's funny. YouTube's a tricky thing. I always had the ideas and I wanted to do them, but I never had the ability to do them. Now I have nothing but ability, and everyone's already done the ideas. So.
Dope.
Yeah.
So getting the rest of the news in here from what's going on in this time of 1987. Check this out. Skip Young and Tony Atlas defeated Tedder, CeeDee, and Texas Red in the final round of the World Class Championship Wrestling Texas Tag Team Tournament. Not just the heavyweight titles, but the Texas Tag Team titles, which have been vacant since 1985.
It's a long time to be vacant.
Yeah. Well, good on you, Tony Atlas and Skip Young, who I thought were... Who's Skip Young? Black Ebony Diamond? I don't know.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, and so what else we got?
That's a reason why we got to switch formats. We got to go find that.
You can actually go back and watch these episodes.
Yeah.
And we can talk about
I need this. To know who Skip Young is.
Big news from Championship Wrestling in Florida. Kevin Sullivan's confrontation with Sir Oliver Humperdinck and Dory Funk Jr. Apparently this... was something where Humperdinck turned on Sullivan and threw fire at his face.
What? I don't see that happening. What? Does that make Sullivan a face or did that make...
Towards the end of FC, of the original Florida Championship Wrestling, Sullivan was a face and he actually did team with Blackjack.
What?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Following day, Funk and Humperdinck challenged Mulligan to a match. After Mulligan accepted, he was double teamed by the Tahitian Prince and Incubus.
Oh, no.
Incubus, the band Incubus came out.
Yeah.
It came out. And,
what was their hit?
What was their
hit? I don't remember.
Wish You Were Here.
Yeah.
Incubus is a good band. So, but apparently, at some point, Sullivan, Mulligan, and Dusty Rhodes might be all fighting off these people here.
You're going to fight the Incubus.
Mm-hmm. Living legend Bruno Sammartino can still grapple with the best of them. He recently won a $50,000 21-man battle royal. We're just throwing around the cash.
Everyone's got cash to throw
around. Everyone was rich in the 80s, guys. Yeah,
I think that they probably went on the $50,000 pyramid, a lot of guys, and then they're like, oh, we got the money now, let's just go. Because I feel like everyone was on that show at one point.
Wait, wrestlers?
I just, in general, people were on that show.
Do you think that's where they were getting the money from?
Yeah.
WWF employees were going on $50,000 pyramid.
Yeah.
And they were winning, and they were going and being like, hey, I got the money for the Battle Royal.
Yeah, that's my theory.
I'm a good dude. We're doing it for the company.
Because that show was syndicated. It was on every day, so.
It was.
And that was like, that was the show. That was the big one.
Here's a small tidbit of news that shows up in here that led to bigger things. And we mentioned it a little bit earlier. Dingo Warrior has arrived in the WWF.
Oh, wow.
He appeared at a TV taping in Indianapolis where he defeated Jose Estrada. And that's all we have. And he would go on to become the Ultimate Warrior. And he would become the fans' hope for the Intercontinental title. So there you go. Let's see here. You asked us. I have a question, Lex Luger, for Lex Luger. Lex, why, man? Why have you joined four horsemen? Why did you listen to Barry Windham and stay away from them? Please come to your senses. Some guy from Florida. Luger's like, mind your own business.
Nice. That's what I would have said.
Actually, he just said, I don't know!
Super Saturday? Super Brawl Saturday? I don't know.
Ron Kelly's back. Has a terrorist shirt. Actually, every question you ask Lex Luger, you can answer with that. Did you see that on the network? They uploaded, like, all this stuff from the Lex Express. Like,
no.
Yeah, it's hours of footage.
They show them at Arby's?
Maybe.
Oh, man.
You might be on there, Joe. Did you beat him at Arby's?
I did.
Oh, you might be on there, Joe.
Oh, man.
You better go back and check it out. Apparently, it's, like, just nothing but that. And then they cut to... Well, it's him slamming Yokozuna, and then they just show a bunch of the footage. It's like, I haven't checked it out yet, because I don't have time for that. Maybe we'll review that on our show. Or maybe Joe will be on it, and we'll have some questions for Joe.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
So here's one actually interesting, and the you asked us. My question is for Dennis Condrey. Why did you leave the mid, and let me go to the next page?
What could it be?
What could it be?
Why did you leave the mid?
What could it be?
South Coliseum.
Why'd you visit the couple without tipping the parking guy?
What it says?
No, it's a Midnight
Express. Oh.
Did Jim Cornette kick you out or did you leave on your own? I think you should get another partner and show Bobby and Stan what you're made of. Well, Brent, Dennis Condrey answered. To begin with, I didn't choose to leave. I was released by Jim Cornette, but I don't think Jim made the final decision. His mother did.
Oh, his mother. So, yeah.
Basically, the real story behind that is that they did the Skywalkers match, and I think Dennis Condrey didn't get paid enough for doing that because it's a fucking scaffold match, which they lost.
Yeah.
And they had a fall off the scaffold, and he probably didn't think he made enough money, so he just literally left in the night. Like it was like the Indianapolis, the Baltimore Colts mm-hmm. leaving to go to Indianapolis. It was like that. My question is for Ric Flair. Why don't you leave Precious alone? She loves Jimmy Garvin, not you. Flair says, "Listen, baby," said an excited Flair. It's not me that wants Precious. It's her who wants me. Woo. Why wouldn't she? Like you said, every woman wants me. Woo. She's just like the rest of the women in the world. They see me and they lose their minds. And
woo.
Woo. Oh.
I think Ric Flair's probably telling the truth.
Yeah, that was legit. And then they asked Jerry Lawler about scaffold matches, and he's like, yeah, they're pretty cool. So.
Yeah, I fell from one.
I fell from one. Puppies. I fell into puppies.
Come to my barbecue.
I fell into barbecue. Why does Jimmy Hart, Jerry Lawler sound like Jimmy Hart? They are related.
They are the same.
They're the same guy.
Before we go, I just wanted to point out, I don't know if we've talked about this before. Every time I see it, I have to mention the Gentleman Chris Adams International Fan Club.
Oh, yeah.
And the photo of Chris Adams.
We've often hypothesized whether or not Steve Austin had that one of those jackets they sold.
Yeah.
So.
Did you ever ask him?
No. Mm. Like he would tell me.
When you were at his house, did he have like a room full of his wrestling stuff?
He didn't show me.
Oh man, because I would admit, like that would be the first thing.
Let me just be upfront here. I work for Podcast One, and I work on Steve's show.
Yeah, so he had to do a lot like a taping at Steve's house, and I just assumed that there would be a room full of merch. Like when you go to when you look at wrestling guys' tours, like of their homes, like Hulk Hogan and stuff, he always had a room full of shit that was just all his toys.
Well, he has it set up where he's got like his property. He's got like a separate thing. Where
you must just not have seen it. Yeah, if there was one.
I was there to do work.
Yeah, I know.
There, he's like, hey, Sean, goddamn. Come see my Chris Adams check.
Yeah.
Come see my NWA TV title, which I would have loved to have seen.
Yeah.
I would have loved to have seen this. If he's got belts, I want to see him.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, that's not what I'm there for.
No.
He did give me a hat, though.
Was it the Stone Cold IPA hat?
Oh, Broken Skull, whatever. Something Steve Austin. It was camouflage with yellow on it. Because Steve Austin loves that camo.
Oh, man. Where's that hat today?
Oh, it's at home.
Oh.
And I mean, it's kind of, there was a video, and this is actually because it's on a video, where I was there with him, but afterward, he had a guest that was with him was this, like, strength athlete, And this guy does like videos on YouTube about strength stuff or whatever. And him and Steve were hitting it off, and they did a video of Steve's like garage gym, because he's got like a garage with like, you know, benches in it and stuff like that. Yeah, just stuff to, for him to get a workout in, do his stuff, you know. So he has a video on YouTube. Matt Vincent, by the way, if you want to look it up. And Steve opens the door, you know, because they're doing this opening, and he opens the door, and he's like, hey, how you doing? He's holding up like a Steve Austin action figure in the package, and I was like, where do those come from? I didn't get one of those. I wanted one.
Which figure was it?
I don't know. It looks like it was a WrestleMania one.
Oh man,
like something from, I don't know if it was something like he only has, he gives out to people, you know, in addition to hats, or if it's something else. This is on this video. You see it. So this isn't anything, you know, like I'm telling you anything different. Like you can see this in the video in his gym and everything like that. So
I would probably be disappointed with the belt Steve Austin had, because he'd probably just have like the smoking skull belt.
Yeah, a lot of smoking skulls.
Yeah, it's probably like that belt and like Attitude Era belts. And I'm like, yeah, you know.
You don't think he's got any WCW stuff or USWA stuff? I know he's got the plaque. He's mentioned before on his podcast he does have the PWI Rookie of the Year plaque that he received.
Okay, maybe he's got that, but I don't see him having any of those belts from like World Class or anything. So, yeah. And that those are the belts I want to see. I don't want to see the smoking skull belt. What do I care?
Yeah, I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
I want to see your USWA. What did he win? Did he win any USWA titles? I don't really know if he won it.
No.
He was just there just being a shit. Maybe he was a Southern champion? I don't know. I don't think he would have that, though. Because, I mean, they probably had to, you know, when he lost it, he probably had to give it to fucking Bill Dundee or whoever it is.
Yeah.
He lost it to.
I bet you Jerry Lawler's got some cool belts at the.
Oh, Jerry's got those belts.
Yeah, Jerry's got some belts at Memphis Barbecue. Oh, man. I'm going to Tennessee in October. Maybe I should go to Memphis. I'm not going anywhere near Memphis.
Oh, bummer.
Damn it.
So thumbs up, thumbs down. Thumbs up to Honky Tonk Man. He just won the title. Chris Adams, he apparently is now back to being a face.
Good.
So he's got to sell jackets.
Yeah.
Jim Crockett and Ricky Steamboat, who, even though he lost the title, has been doing a series of spots saying no to drugs. And if you're looking for a clean wrestler, you can't do any worse than Ricky Steamboat.
No, he's as clean as a whistle.
He sure is. Thumbs down to Dusty Rhodes.
No, why?
I don't know. Apparently he was swearing on TV.
Oh, no. Well, that's where the money came from. They fined Dusty and then used it for the bounty for the tag titles.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that makes sense. Nobody went on $100,000 pyramid.
Thumbs down to Cyril for Humperdinck, who tried to burn out Kevin Sullivan's eyes.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Thumbs down to Paul Dangerley.
Paul Dangerley,
who he suffered a broken leg in a scaffold, man.
Oh, no. Yeah, they refer to him as Dangerly a couple times.
Apparently that's what he was.
No, he was never Dangerly.
Yeah, and then down to Kurt Hennig, because he was being shitty when he won the AWA title. So
Stu Sachs, where's the editor of this one? How'd they not catch Dangerly?
I don't know. Maybe it was Dangerly. Maybe this is a Mandela effect.
Oh.
We're experiencing here. Introducing Johnny Smith. So Johnny Smith, I often got confused sometimes with Johnny Rich. But they are two completely different people. Johnny Smith, he is the brother of Davey Boy, apparently.
Oh.
And he pretty much just wrestled in, like, England and Stampede. And, I mean, there's really not much else to say about him. He did wrestle in ECW for, like, a minute, because they would do stuff with All Japan where he was a part of. Like, he used to tag in All Japan a lot. I think even with, because he was supposed to be the new British Bulldogs with Dynamite at one point. But then British Bulldog, you know, Davey Boy had the name to the British Bulldogs. So
he's also got the striped socks pulled above his boots, which I like.
That's a cool look.
Yeah, yeah. I always liked that look.
Like that look. Kerry Von Erich does a Q&A. Kerry Von Erich is missing, you know, his foot. Ankle accident, or his motorcycle accident where he crushed his ankle.
Yeah.
And supposedly re-broke his ankle walking across the room to get a cheeseburger. That is the urban legend.
Must have been a heck of a cheeseburger.
Oh, I bet.
Do you think it was from Whataburger?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I had a really good burger the other day.
Did you?
And I saw a video of you eating the burger that I wanted to ask you.
What, the Burger King one?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's legit.
Is it good?
Oh, man. Yeah, that American Brewhouse burger at Burger King. Yeah, that's a good burger. Go get it.
I didn't have a burger, actually, but my wife had a burger, but we went to a place, fuck, what was it called? Oh, goddamn. It was a place in Santa Monica, the Plan Check.
Never heard of it.
It's a restaurant, like a gastropub restaurant. They had a really good chicken sandwich that I got.
Oh.
You would like a fried chicken sandwich. I think you would actually really enjoy. But Jen got a burger that said was really good. And they do house-made ketchup. And they also do ketchup leather, which it's exactly what you... So think of fruit leathers, but made of ketchup.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
No, but it works. Because you just put that on your burger, and then you have ketchup. But basically what it is like when you have like the dried shit
yeah.
in your ketchup bottle.
Yeah.
It's just that, but spread really thin.
I don't like it.
It wasn't bad.
I don't want it.
It wasn't bad.
I don't want it.
Burger King should do the ketchup leather burger.
No, nobody should ever do ketchup leather. But that Burger King burger. So, okay, Burger King has quarter pound burgers now that they use for the Whoppers and all that. And so the American Brewhouse burger is just the their standard double quarter pounder, but it's got caramelized onions. It's got bacon. Not caramelized onions. I'm sorry. It's got crispy onions. It's got bacon. It's got mayonnaise, but it's also got like this tavern sauce. It's really good. Go try it because I don't know if it's going to be available forever. It might not be available by the time you listen to this, but if it's still out there, get it. You won't be disappointed. The American Brewhouse burger at Burger King. It's like Burger King usually is a miss with me. I usually don't really care for Burger King, but I really liked this burger and I'm going to go buy it again as soon as I have enough points in my day to get one.
Mm, yeah.
Shout out to Weight Watchers.
I think I haven't really messed with Burger King in a while, but
yeah, and nor should you because their food's generally not good, but this burger was good. This burger was really good.
Too many weird things.
Yeah,
like the Halloween Whopper,
which was just a black bun that made your poop green.
Uh huh. And the Cheeto fries or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah, the latest ones are the pretzel chicken fries,
which you did not put over.
Those are awful. Don't even waste your money on those. Yeah. If you want the chicken fries, just get the regular ones.
So, speaking of fast food, Ken Patera.
Ken Patera, that's a good segue.
Ken Patera, had he only gone to Burger King, he would not have the situation he is in currently, as of this right here, where he just had to get out of prison because McDonald's would not serve him. But the Ken Patera plan.
I can't believe he did that much time for, well.
It was because of the cops.
Yeah, the cops incident afterwards.
It was
yeah.
the cop fight.
If cooler heads would have prevailed, he wouldn't have done all that time. Yeah, He should just let them book him and then been done with it.
You're like, yeah, what? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the situation was much more intense at the time. You know, I mean, maybe there was roid rage involved. I'm not saying. I don't know. I mean, it's the 80s. We're talking mid 80s here.
Yeah,
Patera's in good shape. You know, maybe there's something going on.
But was Saito on roids? I mean,
probably not.
Yeah,
Saito's just fucking.
I love listening to all the shoot interviews that they talk about that incident and how Saito just like. He didn't break kayfabe and pretend he didn't speak English the whole time.
Yeah. Ken Patera finally, he's talked about this a bunch.
Yeah. Oh, like there was that Legends convention here in Los Angeles not too long ago where you could get your photo taken with Ken Patera right. with the McDonald's uniforms and stuff like that. So,
well, you know, as long as they're paying him good. You know.
Yeah, he's got a sense of humor about it now. I mean, it's been 30 years. I'm sure he does. So.
You know, as long as he gets his hotel paid and he gets that money, as long as that check clears, he'll take a picture with you.
I'm so regretting not going to those wrestling conventions while Piper was still alive. He'd been on the Piper's Pit and all that.
You know, I've often thought about that, and it's like it's one of those things where, well, granted, I think at the time when I could have did it, I wasn't really financially able to make those commitments, you know, at least, I don't know, I just didn't want...
Yeah, I didn't want to spend the money either. I didn't want to
spend the money, and you know, whatever, but I mean, I should have went to at least one, I don't know, it's just, I know that there was that one thing that you and I went to, was like the Ring of Honor match.
Yeah.
That was there, and like, you know, Mike Graham was hanging out, and then he was hanging out, and like ICP was there without their paint on.
Yeah.
And then like, we walked by the bar, and like, Billy Graham was there. you know? And I was like, oh, I should talk to Billy Graham. And I was like, oh, I saw him. It's okay.
He's trying to talk to a woman.
Yeah.
There was some chick there.
I don't want to bust up his shot.
Yeah.
Billy Graham doing some work. But anyways, Ken Patera, the Ken Patera plan, eliminate Heenan's henchmen one by one. So because he is back and he basically, you know, Heenan disavowed Ken Patera when he was in prison. And he would not call him while he was in prison, even though, because I mean, prior to this, Ken Patera was a big part of Bobby Heenan's heel stable. I think that's what sometimes you forget when you think about this, because it's like, oh, who's Ken Patera? Because by the time he came back, nobody gave a shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they tried to build it up, but I mean, he wasn't the wrestler he used to be. And him as a face, like, he just, you know, it does not click. It would have been better if he just came back as a heel and he was like, I'm prison tough. Ah, you know, and it would have been awesome. But no, they gave him like a real, like, they tried to, you know, probably at some point trying to figure out how to book him with Hogan or do something with Hogan and shit. And I mean, he was a part of that Survivor Series team, but yeah, he sucked. And he got injured. So that didn't help. But yeah, so we have the Heenan family kicking his ass. Like, we got Bundy, we got Race, we got Paul Orndorff here, which I didn't realize he was around with Heenan, because this was after WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But
jeez, the whole family's there.
Yeah, you got Herc is there. Who else is it? Are we missing anybody? I don't see the Islanders. I mean, Islanders wouldn't be there yet.
No.
Yeah, I mean, that was, that's why I'm confused why Paul Orndorff is there. I figured he would have. Because he wasn't around. See, he was like a healthy scratch for WrestleMania. That's the thing that still frustrates me. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, fucking Paul Orndorff.
Yeah.
He should have come out. He never really got. Well, he had the first two WrestleManias, but that was it.
You're in WrestleMania 4. He was in the Battle Royal, wasn't he?
No, I don't think he was there. I think he was already gone. I'm pretty certain he was.
No, I want to say he was in the Battle Royal or he was in the tournament.
No, wait. Fuck, was he in the tournament? I don't think he was. No, wait. Shit. I don't think he was in the tournament. Yeah, I would have remembered if he was in the tournament. Like, Dino Bravo was in there.
Yeah,
Rocco was in there. And Rude and Roberts. I don't know.
Let's look it up.
Well, we got to look this up, don't we? So, but anyways, Ken Patera. Yeah, see, this is why we need to be doing. We need to do an episode just on this. We talk about Ken Patera a lot on this show. I think we need to do a Ken Patera ep. I would love to find, and I regret not buying it back in the year 2000 when I was in New York City and I was in Chinatown and I found this random ass video store that was, you know, back when you still buy VHSs, and somebody was selling the clamshell version of the Ken Patera story. Excuse me, the Ken Patera story by Coliseum Video. But I did not have a chance.
That sounds like something that I don't want to watch.
Well, it's basically just a bunch of stuff from Ken Patera, and you know, it basically, like, I guess it was just the story of like how Heenan wouldn't call him to prison, and Ken Patera got all bent out of shape, and now he's back to kick Heenan's ass. So, I do like this picture of Ken Patera. Looks like he's doing the Daniel Bryan. Yes. Too bad you can't see his full finger. I want to take a picture of it. It would make sense.
Yeah, he's doing the yes. But
he's starting the yes movement, and it's yes, go to Burger King.
Yeah.
Go to KFC. Do not throw rocks through the windows. Be nice to your servers. I'm just buying time here while to see if Paul Orndorff was in the WrestleMania Battle Royal. What are you looking at?
Paul Orndorff's Wikipedia page.
Well, yeah, what is it saying? 87, you know, he was. Because basically, wasn't it Rude came in and they were like, and Heenan was like, I got Rude. So,
yeah, because so
go fuck off.
Exactly. So he took Oliver Humperdinck as his manager.
Which I remember that vividly, watching him do the interview and screaming, my manager is Paul, is Sir Oliver Humperdinck. And then Humperdinck just comes out with a stupid jacket. So Oliver Humperdinck was probably the worst WWF manager.
Yeah, he was pretty terrible.
He only managed Bam Bam and Paul Orndorff, and neither of them did anything.
Well, the same could be said for Harvey Whippleman, but at least he had some longevity.
No, Harvey had a WrestleMania main event.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had Sid, and he had the Bully. He didn't do too, he wasn't too bad. I mean, he was light years of, Sir, if you're talking to enough managers, Sir Oliver Humperdinck has to be the bottom one. He is the Mike Shaw of WWF managers.
Yeah.
So
I guess he wasn't in WrestleMania 4.
I was positive. I don't think he was in Battle Royal. Yeah, because I would have remembered him. I think he was pretty much...
He wasn't in the tournament, I could tell you.
He didn't do any pay-per-views in 88.
No, I guess not. Maybe he was just injured with his arm injury.
Just he decided it was just time for him to part ways.
Yeah.
That was it.
I'm done. Done looking it up.
So, we shouldn't be talking about Paul Orndorff. We're talking about Ken Patera.
That's right.
Have you ever seen the video of him? Maybe I might have posted it on our page, but I'll have to find it. It's him doing one of those inset commercials during the WWF programming, and he's doing one for the ice cream bars. You know, so he's like, "Hey, I'm Ken Patera, and I'm going to watch the Olympics and in my house and eat these ice cream bars." Ooh, and he starts eating it, and it's really awkward.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm going to find it. We're going to have to post that because that's basically like I don't know. It's there's something about Ken Patera as a face eating an ice cream bar is odd. Anyways, moving forward.
It's do or die time. Sting dump Eddie Gilbert. And he's punching Eddie Gilbert, and it's a great photo, and I love it.
It is a great photo.
Yeah.
Shout out to Sam Blow and Buddy Myers.
Yeah.
Doing the photos here. Sting's rookie year was wasted on tag matches and selfish needs of manager Eddie Gilbert. But now that he's dumped his controversial mentor, Sting has the opportunity to realize his potential or fall flat on his face.
Well, he realized potential.
He did pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, that's another thing, too. I want to see if they can, if eventually they're going to add more of the older UWF, like the last year of the UWF when they had all this stuff going on. I'd really like to watch that.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, it's all early stuff, which is still good, but I want to see this stuff.
Yeah, and I want to see, like, because basically, you know, Sting and Warrior were the Blade Runners, and they're in there with Eddie as, like, his tag team of heavies. And then, you know, Warrior took off, but Sting stuck around, and then he just kind of...
Yeah, didn't he team with Rick Steiner?
Him and Steiner were former UWF Tag Team Champions. They're currently in my WWF Universe mode for WrestleMania WWE 2K18. They're my tag champions. However, I'm getting really fed up with that game.
I haven't turned it on in weeks.
I decided to turn it on, and for some reason my Universe mode keeps dying on me.
Yeah.
I started doing the My Career, and
that's a waste of time too.
It is. I like it, and I don't like it.
I already deleted it off that PS4. I don't even have it installed on there anymore. So.
Oh shit.
That's the next step, is bringing it to GameStop and trading it in.
I keep all those games. I don't know why. Should I not?
I mean, what's the point?
I don't know. I mean, I'd never go back and play them.
Yeah.
But the thing is like, I would, if I want to play the ones I would want to play, I'd want to go back and play the ones on the PS2, which I don't have.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather go back and play SmackDown, you know, the original SmackDown versus Raw, or one after the year after that, which I think were the best tiers. And then Here Comes the Pain and Shut Your Mouth before that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but Here Comes the Pain somewhere.
Yeah, no, that was the first one I bought. Shut Your Mouth was the first one I bought.
I had all of them, but obviously I've gotten rid of a lot of them. But yeah, I still have, Here Comes the Pain I found in a thrift store.
I think I'll have to get rid of the ones, though. It's time for me to move on.
Well, the thing is, like, now's the time to get rid of 2K18 because you still get like $10 for it. If you snooze on it, you're going to get nothing like you're going to get for all the other ones.
Well, I don't know what to say, man. you told me. You said, I have a PS3. You when I sold my PS2,
yeah.
You yelled at me. You said, "Why'd you sell your PS2? You could be playing all those games."
Yeah.
So I haven't done that with my PS3. And I'm still holding all these damn games.
Yeah.
And I had this conversation with my wife, and I was like, "I was like, Joe yelled at me, and so I can't sell these games."
Well, I think the yearly wrestling games you can get rid of. It's like,
just, I only have those games. Well, I have that, and I have Bullet Storm. Will Bullet Storm give me any money?
No, because they re-released it on PS4. I actually have that. I haven't played it yet, though.
I think we played it like because we got it as a gift.
Yeah.
When like because one of our friends that was like her Jen talking about it, which because like was our birthday or something, and one of her friends were like, she's like, "I want to play this Bullet Storm," which basically you just
pull people into them and shoot them and stuff like that. And then we tried playing it, but that was back when I had like my tube TV.
Yeah.
So I didn't have a widescreen TV, so it didn't really.
Well, you were playing a PS3 on a tube TV?
I had to. No, wait.
Holy. No.
No, I couldn't.
Couldn't have been. I don't even think you can. I don't think that's possible.
Maybe. I don't know. That's a good question. I feel like I was. I had to because we were like, oh, we can't see the full screen. So we had to get a new TV. And eventually we did, but we never really played Bulletstorm.
Wow. Bulletstorm's a good game from what I see. I haven't played it yet, though.
I don't have enough patience to play games like that. I don't know why. I don't know. I only play Lego games and wrestling games. I don't know anything. I don't know other games to play.
I tried playing Sniper Ghost Hunter 3, and it was boring, and I stopped playing it. I just wanted to shoot guys from far away. That's all I wanted to do.
I used to love that doing it in Silent Scope in the arcade.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
I like doing that in the other sniper games where there's not much of a campaign. You just do sniping, and I'm like, yes, this is what I want to do.
Get back to the magazine. Is Randy Savage the fan's only hope? Because Honky's got the title? As Randy Savage continues his assault on the Intercontinental title, circumstances are changing drastically. Not only is Macho Man pursuing a different champion, but he has also received the undivided support of the fans.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he definitely had the battles. They were out there having, they had the matches, but nothing really. Yeah, they just, the same thing with it was on the same night as Andre and Hulk when Andre won the title. They were supposed to. Hulk was supposed Andre or Savage was supposed to win against Honky, and Honky famously, I guess, decided. I mean, I don't know if this, he's disputed this, but he was going to take his title, go to Crockett, and if he lost, and they let him keep it.
I've listened to shoot interviews with Honky. What he was going to do was drop the title, do his 90-day no compete, and then go to Crockett. But I guess he had spoken to Crockett and it was like, listen, this is the biggest match. This is the biggest wrestling show ever on television. If you lose to Macho Man, that's it. You're going to be done forever. So that's why he didn't drop the title to Macho Man.
No, I mean, I guess there's there's a way you can argue it.
Yeah.
I want to point out some good writing here, though. This is interesting. The reporters aren't supposed to be shocked when news breaks. A good reporter has to remain cool, calm and cool in the face of surprise and adversity. Emotion clouds the objectivity and makes the job of reporting the facts more difficult than it already is. But there was no one there was no one in the office of the wrestler who wasn't shocked when they heard the news of Honky Tonk Man's stunning upset of Intercontinental Champion Ricky Steamboat. Here, veteran writers like Bill Apter, Matt Brock, Craig Peters, and Stu Sachs sat with their mouths agape as the news of the Honky Tonk Man victory came over the phone. That's how you got wrestling results, over the phone.
Did they really sit there with their mouths agape?
I think I would have been. I was pretty shocked. I was a kid. This is the age of kayfabe. You didn't know shit.
But if I'm Bill Apter or Stu Sachs, am I really that surprised?
Stu Sachs could weigh in here if you would like, listener of the show, Stu Sachs. But I will say, I will back them up on it because of all people you would expect to win the title in 1987, I wouldn't peg Honky Tonk Man as the winner of the title.
It's so funny because looking back on it now, it's like, of course he would. He's the obvious choice. But like, no, back then he wasn't. He was like a nobody. So
why wouldn't he say? Because you would think he's like, why wouldn't Hercules? Why wouldn't Harley Race? Why wouldn't Ron Bass? Why wouldn't Butch Reed, who apparently was originally to win it? Take your pick. I mean,
yeah.
Four right there. That's four strong wrestlers right there. One man gang. You know, I mean, I think he was around at the time.
You know, yeah, he was around. Yeah.
You could put the title on him and had somebody like Savage beat him for it.
Yeah, that would have been a cool feud because they were like an alliance in Memphis. So
yeah, and it's but you got Savage, you know, you got Slick as the manager there.
Yeah,
you know, he had a good something going there.
I guess they technically did feud later on when the Twin Towers feuded with the Mega Powers, but a Savage one man gang single feud would have been cool too.
Well, we did get that match.
Yeah,
WrestleMania 4. So. Yeah. Ambushed on Bad Street, the Four Horsemen ruined the Freebirds' return. Yeah, the Freebirds came back in like at some point in 87, and Terry Gordy wasn't around. I feel like he wasn't around very long for this return, but Michael Hayes stuck around. Buddy Roberts wasn't very long. I've watched some of these matches. This is actually stuff I've watched in on the network. And I don't really have much to say about it. Anything about the ambush on Bad Street?
No, it was an ambush. I got a text while we were talking about that article. I just wanted to point out that my buddy who picked somebody up, he was an Uber driver, and he said that the guy's name was Lee, and he was wearing Lee jeans. That was what I was reading while you were talking about that.
Greg, so here's the money article. Larry Zbysko, Greg Gagne is the stupidest man alive.
It's a great photo of Larry Zbysko. Looks like he's like...
He's wearing that gi that you love so much.
I love the gi, and he's got like his hair looks like it's a mess, and it looks like he's in the middle of taking a dump. It's awesome.
You think that's how Larry Zbysko takes it? Yeah. He just points angrily at things.
Points, and he's like, yeah.
Yeah, I might try that tonight. Greg Gagne didn't realize what he was saying when he challenged AWA World Champion Curt Hennig to a match under any conditions. Curt Hennig accepted the challenge and has met Gagne in a series of non-title matches. If conditions persist, Greg Gagne will never get a shot at the belt. Well, he is pretty dumb.
That is stupid.
Here you go. Here's a joke for you. How many Gagnes does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
I'll tell you, 10. 1 to hold the light bulb and 9 to turn the ladder.
Why does it take 9 to turn the ladder?
I don't know. How many people can you actually effectively be there to hold to turn a ladder? I love that ladder is really wide and thick.
Is Joe Gagne one of the 9 Gagnes to turn the ladder?
Joe Gagne.
Is he the one turning the light bulb?
Joe Gagne, if you are listening to this episode, please confirm. If you have turned helped Greg got your father, brother, son, Greg Gagne change the light bulb.
I don't think they're related.
I don't think so either. But yeah, that's why he's dumb. And you know what? He is pretty dumb because Curt Hennig, being a smart man, was like, yeah, great. I'll fight you under conditions. I won't put the belt on the line.
Yeah.
But I'll wrestle you anyways. That's pretty funny. So, yeah. And, you know, Larry Zbysko, of course, was there to help Curt Hennig win the belt, by handing Curt Hennig a roll of quarters.
Oh.
Handing him some change. That's an underrated weapon in wrestling.
Can you imagine trying to do that in real life? What, like your buddy's like in a fight at the bar, and you go to the bar, the register, and you're like, do a no-sale, give me a roll of quarters, and you give it to your friend to use.
Either that or... You just happen to be with your buddy when you're on your way to the laundromat, and you have the roll of quarters to do your laundry, but you haven't broken it yet. So you're like, hey, use this to knock out this thug, because it's effective.
I guess so.
It's effective. You ever try to swing your fist when you're holding a roll of quarters?
No, I can't say I have.
I do it all the time.
I don't ever.
If I'm ever holding a roll of change, a thing of change, I am swinging my fist. I'm getting that feeling.
I have no reason to ever roll quarters.
There are. I'm trying. You know, actually, it'd be a great episode for our show for this new format. Are matches that involve rolls of quarters? Because there's a few.
Yeah,
there's a few we could talk. We got this. We got Bockwinkel, Henning Bockwinkel. We've got, Ole Anderson and Big Bubba Rogers. There's also there was a Luger and Sting against Harlem Heat back in 96, 95 maybe. I don't know, man. We got to find a few. What do you think of this gi? You like this gi?
The gi's great.
The gi's great.
Of course, it's great.
Yeah, but Curt Hennig. Greg Gagne is dumb. Curt Hennig's a bad guy now. Larry Zbysko is having a hoot.
A lot of good action shots in that article.
Yeah, there's a good action shot. I think there's one where it's like Greg Gagne is about to do karate, and Larry Zbysko is like about to do a fucking jump kick and shit.
Yeah, he's almost like getting ready to just like jump him, jump over a kick or something.
Yeah,
I don't know what he's doing. It's awesome.
So outside the squared circle or beyond the squared circle, this is. I feel like I'm looking at some of these photos, and I definitely read these.
Because yeah,
these are some great photos here. But
why is George Steele? He's got like a life jacket on one arm, and then he's holding a camera.
He's holding like photographer things.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is, but he's got like a camera, and he's somebody took a picture of him. They found another camera, thankfully, to take this picture of him.
Yeah.
The camera. Also, Thorvald Humperdinck. He's always they caught him in his kitchen.
Yeah.
Now, I want to point out the greatness of this photo, because not only is it Sir Alvin Humperdinck being surprised in his own kitchen, but he's also wearing a shirt of himself.
Yeah.
Which, I want that shirt.
That's a great shirt.
I definitely want that shirt.
Oh, man. See, I used to be friends with Oliver.
I don't care if he's the worst manager.
I used to be friends with Oliver Humperdinck on Facebook. And then when he died, I unfriended him because I was like, oh, he's not going to post anything else. Why should I stay friends with him? But now I'm regretting unfriending Oliver Humperdinck.
Why? Because you think his estate was selling off all those shirts?
I think that like he probably had like people just tagging old photos of him with wearing that shirt. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I want that shirt.
Yeah. It was a sad day when he died. And then yeah. I was like, oh, you know, time to kill him off my friends list, too. So RIP Oliver Humperdinck.
Kendall Windham signs a long-term contract in presence of NWA representative Sandy Scott. This is probably the most boring photo I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It's Kendall Windham signing something.
Yeah, that's a pretty dumb photo.
And we got Austin Idol doing some...
he's working out.
Dumbbells.
Yeah.
Look, it's huge. Look, yeah. Swole as shit. Love it.
And Scott Hall posing with some kids. Are those his kids?
Those
I guess.
These are the wife and children of wrestler photographer Dwayne Long.
Oh, so he's holding Dwayne Long's baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because his kids weren't really born until...
Yeah, Cody wasn't born yet. Cody wasn't born until like...
Yeah, like WrestleMania era Scott Hall. Yeah. I remember he was on QVC, like, whoring WWF merch, and he had the bracelet on from the hospital that his kid was just born. That was Cody.
Really?
Yeah. I remember when that was going down.
Wait, WrestleMania? Which WrestleMania?
I want to say 10. I want to say 10.
Is Cody that young?
Yeah.
Well, that was a long time ago. He's old now.
Yeah.
I think it's only his kid. His only kid, right?
Yeah.
Because it's him and, was it, his wife is Dana.
Yeah, I want to say it was WrestleMania 10. It was hyping up his match with Shawn Michaels.
You have a pretty good memory, Joe.
Why? How do you not remember?
If you're
a kid in sixth grade and you're watching Scott Hall on QVC, of course you're going to remember that.
According to manager Downtown Bruno's projections, he should be earning well over $100,000 a year by 1989.
Actually, I think I was in ninth grade when
that was
coming.
Mid-South Coliseum employee tries to show he cares. This is, he has no proof. But there's no proof here. But yeah, that's a photo. Also, Craig Peters is putting Peter Bay bumper stickers on women's behinds. Looks like he's at a Hooters. That
would not go over well today.
No, I mean it's a candid photo, say the least. And Tully Blanchard is eating dinner, but it's a weird photo because he's like just sitting at like a. It looks like he's at like a. Is he like in a cafeteria? I can't tell how this is. This looks weird. Like he's behind the kitchen or something, and he's just eating. I don't know.
He's eating with Ricky Morton.
No, he had a match with Ricky.
Oh, had a match with.
He had to get some food out.
Oh,
see. So we're at our ratings, and let's go through here real quick. Top 10: Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Barry Windham, Western States Champion.
Nice.
We were Western States crazy.
Yeah.
In late 80s, 87, 88. Nikita Koloff, Lex Luger, Kurt Hennig, Randy Savage, Jim Garvin, Mike Rotundo, and Tully Blanchard, the NWA TV Champion. Let's see here, the NWA ratings, you know, we're still in the middle of having everybody beat, this is, by the way, July 1st, 1987 is the cutoff date, so we've got all of our wrestlers here. There's not a lot of, I'm noticing here, like, the NWA-specific wrestlers, like, from the different areas are not as represented here. I mean, there's, the UWF is represented, but I also see Carlos Colon. So, but I don't really see anybody else from like other parts. So I think we're moving away from all that, even though World Championship Wrestling has its own thing, which Lasertron, number 10, Lasertron.
Yeah.
You know, we got Florida. So Incubus was number 10. We talk about the mighty Incubus.
From parts unknown. Four hundred pounds.
400-pound Incubus.
Number 9 was Conga the Barbarian.
That's if you weigh all the band members together.
Conga the Barbarian from Chicago, Illinois.
That's right. That's the Barbarian. I'm
yeah. Certain. Not from the island of Tonga, though, which is where he was built from. He was from Chicago.
No, we just put him in Chicago for a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then WWF's got Hogan as a champ, Honky Tonk, Savage, Harley Race. Harley Race pretty high up, and Killer Croc pretty high up. Also, we're still calling Hercules Hernandez.
Yeah.
Ken Patera, Billy Jack, One Man Gang, Bam Bam, and Kamala still kicking around. How did Kamala not end up on WrestleMania? He never appeared at a WrestleMania, I don't think.
I don't think a single one other than the Gimmick Battle Royal.
That's right. Okay, Gimmick Battle Royal.
That was probably it, though. But Kamala in his heyday, no WrestleMania.
Well, he was around, obviously, or maybe he, I don't know. I mean, he feel like he was around enough to be at WrestleMania 3 for some reason.
Yeah.
But then he was already gone by the end of 87. He didn't show up again until 92.
Yeah.
And he was around in 93, but he was supposed to wrestle Bam Bam, and that match got cut.
Well, there you go. That's the answer to that.
He never got that sweet WrestleMania payday until 2001.
He was in that 92 SummerSlam and wrestled The Undertaker in the casket match.
Yeah.
That's when The Undertaker was feuding with the Harvey Whippleman stable.
That's right. Yeah. Harvey Whippleman, much better manager than you remember. Much better.
All his guys jobbed to The Undertaker.
Yeah, I know, but they were in main event. They were up there. Except for Quang. Quang didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And Well Done. Yeah, Well Done. Well Done had a pretty rough. So, the most popular tag teams. We're doing tag team ratings here in the ratings analysis. We got Road Warriors, Rock and Roll Express, Fantastics, British Bulldogs, Superpowers, Can-Am Connection, Tim Horner and Brad Armstrong.
Who the heck were the Superpowers?
It's Dusty and Nikita.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan, or what's his face? Fucking Superman and Batman. Tim Horner, Brad Armstrong, Freebirds, Steve Kern and Mike Graham, because apparently if you're popular in Florida, you're over everywhere else. And then finally, the 13th contenders to the U.S. Tag Team titles.
Not even the World Tag titles, but the U.S. Tag titles.
13th contenders.
Number 13.
Randy and Bill Mulkey. Who were the rest? You know what? I want to know who were 1 through 12. Because, I mean, I could probably give you maybe like 5 for sure at that time, but
they probably ranked WWF tag teams ahead of them.
Yeah, I like it. Well, that's it for the ratings. I think that's it for this book.
Yeah, really, the rest is all continued articles.
We got some corresponding reports. You know, we're doing matches. Let's look at some WWF matches. I always like looking at some of the books from this area. So we have the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs in a match.
This is in Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan. It was a cage match, which the Harts won. But also we had Brutus Beefcake defeating Johnny V. And Brutus Beefcake was also fined $1,000 for cutting the ref's hair.
Oh.
Don't mess with those refs. Can-Am Connection defeated Kamala and Sika. Morocco and Bob Orton were defeated by the Islanders. See, that's weird. Why don't you just put the Islanders?
Yeah.
Ron Bass beat SD Jones, and Outback Jack beat Steve Lombardi. I don't know if I like that. That Flint didn't get a good card there.
Well, it's Flint.
So that's it for this episode with the wrestler from October 1987. That's it. So thanks for listening, folks. And thanks for supporting this episode for this podcast.
Yeah. We're not going away. We're just changing formats a little bit.
Some stuff up.
And like I said before, we'll go back to the magazines eventually. We just want to cover other stuff for now.
Yeah, we want to get a bit more granular, you know, and have some fun with this stuff. So yeah. I think it's time to kind of switch it over.
And if it ends up flopping, we'll go back to the magazines. No big deal. Yeah.
So thanks again for listening, folks. You can find myself on Twitter and Instagram at @AngryHeelSean.
And I'm on Twitter and Instagram at @SweatpantsJoe.
Please rate and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get the show. And find us on Facebook at I Could Talk Kayfabe. So who's our guy?
There's a lot of Honky Tonk Man references, a lot of Macho Man references.
Well, we've probably done Macho Man.
But I don't want to quote either one of those guys.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Who can we do? I mean, nobody has any catchphrases, man.
No. Larry Zbysko, Greg Gagne is an idiot.
So here's Larry Zbysko. Larry Zbysko, here's his quote. Here's what he would say. Greg Gagne is the stupidest man alive.